Morning, and welcome to episode 5 of the Retiul Presents Installing to Disk. Yep, we're back again, bringing some gaming news to your ears.
Indeed, yeah, a week later than usual, which I apologise for, but, you know.
I apologise for nothing. We're back again. I'm Jordez, and with me as per usual is...
Nickname is James.
And this week we're going to be talking about the Double Fine Adventure game yet again.
For about the 8th week in a row?
Yep. We got some rumours in James's rumour room. We get James's verdict on cannon fodder in the retro roundup. And, well, it's going to be a James-centric episode, because you're the only person who's been playing games this week.
Well, I'm slightly worried about this, because my preparation for this episode was about an hour and a half last night.
Yep, but I've been doing literally nothing this week, so... No, I've been doing literally everything, so I haven't had time for this.
This isn't going to be a great episode, is it?
It's not. Well, we're going to try and make it as good an episode as possible.
We'll try. We'll wing it.
So, let's kick things off with... The news! Double Fine have decided to make the Kickstarter-funded Double Fine Adventure using Moi.
I saw you looking at that earlier, and I was thinking, I wonder how he's going to pronounce that.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Moi.
Moi?
Meaning that the game will be available on multi-platforms.
What is this Moi?
It's a development platform that is really easy to do cross-platform on.
Okay.
So they can do like most of the coding and then just make minor tweaks so it transfers across to like Android platforms or iOS or even Chrome browser-based. So basically that just means that Double Fine Adventure will be playable on pretty much everything when it comes out.
That is fantastic. Will your printer be able to play it?
Sadly not, because that printer can do nothing because it's a printer.
We can print, surely.
You've used a printer before. That's the most difficult thing to do. But yes, basically it just means that anyone wants to get their Double Fine on will find it easy. Bayonetta creator, Hideki... it's not me being terrible, it's just I can't read what I wrote.
There needs to be an accompanying video with this that just flashes up words. So we don't have to pronounce anything, it's just there.
This one's my bad handwriting, not poor pronunciation. Bayonetta creator Hideki Kamiya... No, this is bad pronunciation. Hideki Kamiya... The Bayonetta guy, let's just leave it as are. Has hinted that there may be a sequel to the critically acclaimed Bayonetta game. He tweeted to his fans that... basically, check out next month's magazines for a bit of news.
Any magazines?
Gaming ones, preferably.
Okay,
you're probably
so
not going.
Not talking about Caravanning Monthly.
Yeah, you're not going to find
Horse
it.
Horse and Rider.
You're not going to find it in Dat Bass Fishing.
Yes. The cover to Longwave Radio's Monthly, Bayonetta 2.
Bayonetta was a good game, but I don't think it's good enough to transcend.
That's okay.
Yeah,
made my mind up for me.
Yeah, I think that should sum up everything about the game in a very concise way. Rockstar are going to use the Rockstar Pass for Max Payne 3's DLC. Rockstar Pass, I think it debuted for L.A. Noire, allowing you to get all the DLC in like one giant pack for cheap.
Right.
And they're going to be using it yet again for Max Payne 3, so you can get all the DLC for like $30 or whatever it will be in the translation for whatever country you are in.
Presumably. I was a little annoyed last night as I was on some website or other, and there was a headline saying Rockstar... No, I think it was Facebook, actually. Rockstar posted talking about what DLC they were working on for Max Payne. I was thinking, well, isn't Max Payne supposed to be out before you start doing DLC?
Yeah.
And then I went to the cinema, and there was a big Max Payne trailer. So,
well, no, I mean, if the game's gone gold, then, which it probably has by now, because it comes out in...
19th, is it?
I think it's something like that. Well, the game might have already gone gold, so they can't make any changes to it. They've got nothing to do until the game is literally in stores. So they might as well be getting working on DLC.
Keep themselves busy.
Yeah. DLC is it's always an awkward one. I mean,
I think we've had this discussion about three or four times, and we can never come to a conclusion about it.
No. The thing that I am against, though, is on-disc DLC, because they've clearly... If they've managed to get it on the disc, then they've done it ages ago. Just, they should... That
it's
is
Bioshock
the
that did that. Bioshock 2.
Bioshock 2 was an abomination for everything, so I imagine they will have done. The big scandal recently was with Mass Effect 3, who did that.
Did they?
Yeah, and they cut out what some argue is like an integral part of the story.
And then people found out that this DLC they were downloading was only about 3 kilobytes.
Yeah, it's just like an unlock thing. But yeah, I am against on disc DLC. I'll put my
$0.02.
Yeah, some words to that effect. And finally, Kickstarter have announced that over $20 million has been raised for video games on their funding platform. Which is a great thing, because it offers publishers a new way to get the game out. I mean, traditionally they'd have to go... Did I say publishers there?
Yeah, you might have done, honestly.
Developers, sorry. A new way to get their game out. They don't have to go through publishers. And this allows for like those really niche games that people just like, oh yeah, I want a tank simulator where you can only drive in reverse through the colonial civil war.
That's probably... those people who make police simulator and farm simulator, stone quarry simulator, airport fire service simulator I saw the other day.
Yeah, nice. You can get those out because those are not commercially viable in the bigger sense of the term.
Yeah.
So, but if developers have a passion for making airport fire simulator, and fans, if there's like only 10 crazy fans who are willing to put enough money in, then they can get the game out there. So
fair play to them.
Yeah, it's nice to see. I like Kickstarter. I am worried though that there's going to be a point where someone over, like, just says, "Oh yeah, we want $1 billion to make this game," and everyone puts in, and then
$1 billion.
Yeah, and then they realise that they can't live up to expectations, Duke Nukem style. And
best game ever made.
That will be like the determining point where the Kickstarter can last once that big crash is hit. So yes, but until then, it's sweet. And that is all we've got for the news. So,
Have you seen, before we move on, have you seen the release date for Call of Duty Black Ops 2?
I imagine it's November the 11th or 8th.
November the 13th. Seriously. It's close. We've been predicting the 8th for about 4 months, something like that.
Basically, every big release comes out on whatever the Tuesday or Friday is around November the 11th or 8th.
So, and it's the 13th. Have you seen the trailer for it?
No, I haven't. I saw someone posted it on Facebook this morning, but I didn't have
time. It is terrible.
It's
confusing. It's set in the year 2380, as far as I can tell. The soundtrack is just ripped from Tron.
Is he going like the Metal Gear Solid kind of future present kind of thing?
Yeah, by the looks of it. There's like robots and flying things. I think someone might have played Battlefield, because there's a bit where you're flying a plane.
Yeah.
And there's also a bit where you're riding a horse.
What?
Yes.
I need to go watch this.
All I can
as
imagine
soon as possible, because it sounds like
someone also watched Indiana Jones as well, like the bit on the horses, like putting rocks in tanks. Very, very strange.
I will love to see how the people who buy Black Ops are going to react to this.
They won't. They'll just say it's good.
Yeah, but
default response: it is good. I like it. I like to play online with my friends.
Yes. Well, you've thrown me off there. To be honest, I did not expect to be hearing that. But yes, who would have predicted that? I mean, if you brought that up in the rumour room a few weeks ago, I'd have been like, yeah, get out.
Whatever.
But it's turned up to be true. So speaking of rumours, we might as well go on there into there now in
Ranger's Rumour Room. Once again, as you've come to expect, I haven't done it properly. I've only got two rumours. It's a rumour shelf.
Rumours.
I've got True Crime Streets of LA. True Crime Streets of LA is on the shelf in the Sony house.
You've lost me here.
That'll throw everyone. Right. Apparently there's rumours that EA are going to be bought by Nexon. Nexon are a free-to-play developer slash publisher, and a Korean newspaper has published an article saying that Nexon has made an offer to EA. And as a result, EA shares are at the highest they've been in 6 weeks. EA recently voted worst company on Earth.
In America. As
it in the was. Solar system. And they're valued at $5 billion, apparently. And so, Nexon, free-to-play, $5 billion.
Yeah, over in Korea, the free-to-play market is absolutely massive. I imagine they're the guys behind the karting game. That is massive over in South Korea. No, it's a free-to-play one that works entirely on microtransactions. And it is huge. I mean, there's basically StarCraft and then that. Although I am surprised that they managed to be able to buy out EA. Because
well, they made them an offer. We'll wait and see.
Yeah, that's...
Could this be a turnaround for EA?
It'd be interesting to see what would happen then. That's big news if it comes to fruition.
Yeah, I've wrote it in big letters.
Sweet. All caps.
Well, I've written it in letters big.
Oh.
Like curly K's and kicking L's.
Okay.
Have you seen the leaked Rayman Legends trailer?
No, but I... is it going to be like an extension of Rayman Origins, or is it going back to like Rayman 3D?
Well, it just looks like Rayman, not Rayman Origins. But the point of this video is it was meant purely for internal purposes at Ubisoft. It wasn't meant to be shown. Somehow it got out, and Ubisoft have commented on it, saying that it's not to be used to represent the final game, don't look into it too much, but there's some interesting things in it where it just shows a bit of the gameplay and how they use the Wii U, which is nice, considering the last time we saw it was about a year and a half ago.
Well, this is actually something being played on the Wii U.
It was something being played on
exists?
The Wii U. Yes, and it wasn't someone drawing a parrot. It was a proper game. And the most weird thing about it is it's got a kind of Spyro Skylanders style thing. Where the tablet itself is just lying on a table, and there's this kid playing on it, and then he picks up a toy of a rabbit from Rayman's Raving
Rabbits.
Oh, another
rabbits are back!
And he just puts it on the screen of the tablet, and then in the level, all these rabbits start appearing behind the level and moving about, and it looks more like rather than other enemies and playable characters, it looks more like a Little Big Planet level kind of thing where your character's popping up behind and whatever.
They don't really have it. Didn't look like it had any effect on the gameplay.
Not from what I saw.
But I imagine if this is Elite One, it's going to be a very, very early thing of the game. So
the most
they'll probably bring
thing,
playable characters in through that if they do go ahead with the Skylander-esque toys.
Well, building on that, he then puts the rabbit down and then reaches for an Ezio figure.
What?
I know. And then it kind of close, you don't see him, but
it's just like,
so Ezio will be a playable character in Rayman Legends.
That's clearly something they've only done in house just for fun. They are not bringing no, I refuse to believe this.
It's a rumour, that's what they're about.
Yeah, but I'm trying to deconstruct the truth out of this
rumour. It's my job to twist the truth,
and it's my job to work out what actually the truth is. But I would love to see another Rayman Origins game.
It looks exactly the same.
Good. What they could do that's new, I mean, if they're bringing in these toys and such, which I don't... To be honest, I don't see them... I would not expect that to be...
They don't look like specialised Skylander-y kind of things.
Possibly it could be done on a weight, because it's a touchscreen, so they could have, like, if a certain weight is on it. I don't know
just put random objects on it. Like a screwdriver and see what character I unlock.
Could be. But yes, like I said, with Rayman Origins, basically stripped back everything and took it back to just pure, unadulterated 2D platforming, which it would seem strange that if they're bringing in all these gimmicks, it kind of goes against everything that Origins was. So, yes, I'm going to be looking forward to see how that pans out. What do you say with Rayman Legends?
Rayman Legends, yeah. There was another rumour that was, I think, about a week before this. I didn't write it down because this one seemed to talk more about Rayman. But in the other one, there was a survey that was sent out.
And the survey said...
And someone who received it forwarded it to IGN.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just basically asking people's opinions of Rayman Origins. And then I was talking about a sequel and showing screenshots from it and videos.
Really?
Yeah. And there's...
surprisingly candid of them.
Like a kind of dragon-y thing. It just looks exactly the same as Origins. But I was expecting... The Wii U is meant to be this all-powerful, all-amazing machine. And it looked exactly the same as Rayman Origins on Xbox and PlayStation. I was at least expecting something a bit more.
And there's not much you can do more, really. I mean, you could just stick in like another 50 layers of parallax scrolling.
Yeah.
But
I'm yet to be impressed by the Wii U.
Well, there's contradicting things about it. I mean, some companies say, yeah, it's more powerful than the PS3 and Xbox. Others said it's not. I don't know what to believe. I just want that it to come out so I can see what it is and then ignore it.
Well, is it just safest to assume at this point that it's as powerful as?
No. Some people have said that it's not.
Really?
Yeah. Some publishers have said that. Some developers, sorry.
It's, wow.
The Wii U, to say that it was announced, like, over a year ago now.
Something like that, I can't.
No, it was E3 last year.
Last year?
I think so. It was named last year at E3. So it was announced a bit before. But to say we've had a year, we do not know anything about it, really.
I know it's white.
Yeah, and I know that's got a stupid name, but... It's a weird one, the Wii. But yes.
So, yeah, that's from my rumour shelf this week. Apologies. I should have looked earlier, but time makes all of us all.
So, yes. Well, I'll carry on with you. Because basically this entire episode's about you, so...
We're gonna
move on to the...
Dullest episode in history.
The Retro Roundup. You were tasked with playing Cannon Fodder for What console did you play on?
Mega Drive in the end.
Oh, Mega Drive. And what was your verdict?
It was good. It took a while to try and get an opinion of how... Is it a point and click? Is it... I don't get what it's...
Not really. No, it's not a point and click.
It's a thing. You move and shoot, but you don't...
I suppose it would probably be a tactical... Is it turn-based?
It's not turn-based, no.
Tactical real-time strategy.
Something like that.
Be a real-time strategy, an RTS, I think.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting one.
I got a few levels into it, I'd say. I didn't really care, to be honest. But the one thing that I didn't really understand was in between the levels, there was a kind of home-away thing that I didn't really get. There'd be like some cutscene of people running over a hill, and then it would have home on one side and away on the other. I was like, is this what? Yeah. Is this turning into Sensible Soccer? What's all this about? But other than that, got bored fairly quickly. Shoot, run. Then you're in the snow. Shoot, run. Job done.
It's a bit of a morbid game, to be honest, because, I mean, at the end of like the level, you see the cutscenes of all like the graves where your characters have died, and you're like, all right.
Yeah.
I just came to play a game. I don't want to be faced with my own mortality and the pointlessness of war.
It just raised some interesting questions.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the great things about it, I suppose, is that, I mean, this game came out, what, 93, I think? And it brought up the issue that most war games don't even do now, and just, like, the your characters are actually dying and such like, so it brought up that morality thing.
I think Hogs of War did a similar thing.
I don't think it did, but Hogs of War was awesome.
Yeah.
It was what 3D Worms should have been, but never was. Yeah.
I just remembered from that cannon fodder bit, sometimes when you shoot an enemy, they survive on the floor.
Yeah.
With like crabby holes in them just there on the floor, like, little animation. I don't want to see this. I have to put him out of his misery now.
So, overall, what was your verdict?
I'm going to say thumbs up, but it's only slightly more up than down.
This would be where your indifference came in.
Yeah.
Indifferent thumb. But yeah, it's a game that you should play. I mean, it shows a different side of games that often don't get seen. So
yeah.
It's a useful game, not a particularly fun one, I suppose. But this week, you're going to be playing Battletoads.
I know the song for Battletoads. Yes. Because there's a song from an electro artist who sounds similar to it. I think he sampled it or used it as a basis or something.
Yeah, it's got really good music throughout. And this is a brawler, similar to Double Dragon and Streets of Rage.
Right. I've played too many games
River
now.
Ransom. That's another one you played.
Yes.
River City Ransom, sorry.
Yeah.
So this
has it got toads in it?
Yes, and they battle their way through something.
What can toads possibly have to fight about?
They don't do anything. The Dark Princess does something. Can't really remember. She might kidnap one of the other toads, something like that. It's been a long time since I played it, I'm not gonna lie. I guarantee you will not complete it. So,
I will make more of an effort for the next episode. I've been very busy the last few weeks, so.
Yeah, have fun with this one. Yes, this was on the Mega Drive and the SNES, if my memory serves me correctly. I think the Mega Drive one is particularly difficult, so I'd advise going for the SNES one.
No, I'm good at hard games.
I assure you will not complete Battletoads. But yes, that's your game for next week. Next fortnight, sorry. We really should...
We've been doing this for... This is the 25th episode.
25th episode
And
overall.
We still say next week.
I think we actually done more, including the lost episodes.
Those fabled lost episodes.
Yes.
That the mystics talk about.
Yes, but it doesn't
They'll
help.
Just be found in, like, scrawled on some stone tablet under Castle Hill one day.
But, yes, we need to stop saying... weekly, because we're a fortnightly podcast. And speaking of which, let's move on to Game of the Week. Which is a misnomer if I've ever heard of it. Because we normally talk about more than one game, and it's fortnightly, so...
Yeah.
Games of the Fortnight. Sounds pretty cool, actually. We should stick with that.
We won't, but it's worth noting. Write it down.
Okay.
If you write it on your monitor, you'll never forget.
Right, I've not been playing any games this week, because I've been under the stresses... of deadlines, so it's all on you, James.
Well, my deadline stresses have just finished, so I've been playing Just Cause 2 again. I've already spoke about it, but I tell you what, I know it's difficult to get back into. I played it for about 3 or 4 days, and then had a gap of a couple of weeks. I'm trying to get back into it. So, it took me... I can play it again now, I can pick it up and get back into it, but it just took a couple of days of just playing it for a bit. And I just start the game, zoom out and see the map and be like, oh. And then get back into it and all this. And I was thinking the other day, I'm not entirely... I think the first one might be better.
I never played the first one, so
I think the first one is better.
I'm surprised you're saying that it's difficult to get back in, because I always saw it as like one of those games that'd be great to pick up and play. There's no storyline, there's no real constraints on you. You can just run around grappling people to helicopters.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about, I just found it quite difficult to... I gave Test Drive Unlimited 2 another chance.
And I imagine you were met with the same harrowing disappointment as the last time you gave it another chance.
It's still the worst game in the world ever. I don't know why I keep giving it chances. I just hope that somehow it just one day learns and just becomes Test Drive Unlimited 1 and doesn't give me any of that unnecessary nonsense that it's full of.
So. Yeah, it's not going to change. It's going to be you. That has to change.
But I've got Rage waiting.
Oh,
it's arrived now, sitting on my shelf.
Did you purchase that with your game card?
Got it in my game points. And I'm trying to find Driver for cheap as well.
The original?
San Francisco, is
yes.
it?
Yes, Driver San Francisco. It was one of the more underrated games last year.
I've seen it on Amazon for about £7, but all the shops in town still have it for about 20, so...
Yeah. From a gameplay point of view, it's really, really good. Surprisingly fun. I mean, the atmosphere and everything's great, but it's just whether it's your mileage may vary on the like supernatural elements of it, like the car hopping.
Yeah.
But I think it is quite a unique element that you don't see often in other racing games. Well, you've never seen in other racing games. and it offers a more tactical element to the traditional driving. So yes, do go again, drive to San Francisco. So Gregor,
yep,
great soundtrack. And that was Games of the Fortnite. So now we are just moving into the release schedule. And since this isn't November the 8th, it's quite a light one this week. As all this, we're starting the summer drought.
Yeah, it started early this year.
Well, it started in January from the sounds of it. I've not seen
it. What's this going to be like in June? It'll just be, you alright? Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, it's going to be a bit light. Hopefully there'll be a load of indie games over the summer.
I'm not going to buy indie games.
Well, Kickstarter's making them become
I suppose so.
Proliferant across the gaming community, so we'll have tons of them to go through. Yes, but as I was saying, this week's release schedule, well, last week's and next week's release schedule, on the 20th... What are you chuckling at?
I don't know.
You can tell this has been... It's one of those episodes it where... The sun's starting to get to us with...
Heat strokes kicking in.
Yes. On the 27th of April, Crash Time 4, The Syndicate, came out for 3DS, DS, PS3, Wii, and 360. On the 2nd of May, Skullgirls came out for the PS3. Also on the 2nd, Awesome Knots came out for the PS3 and Xbox 360. On the 4th, I know this one will get a reaction from you, Back to the Future is going out for the PC, PS3 and the Wii. Strangely, not the 360, unless I've written that down wrong. But yes, Back to the Future.
Is this the thing that... Was it Telltale did?
I think so. This is an episodic game.
Shouldn't that finish by now in episodes?
Unless it's a different one, but I'm
thought they released, like, all four within a week.
Do they?
Something like... Yeah, they seem to come out really quickly. That's confused me a bit.
I'll find out for you. The one that came out on the 4th is going to be the retail copy of it. So while you've been able to buy the game episodically on Steam and Telltale Store for months,
you can
this will
buy
be an actual disc
in physical
out.
Format.
Yes.
Have you played any of them?
No, because Telltale Games kind of lost me after the Jurassic Park fiasco.
Jurassic Park.
But Telltale Games are still my favourite for bringing Sam and Max back to life. So when they release a new Sam and Max game, I'm going to be far too happy.
Cool.
But yes. And also on the 4th of May, which is we're still on, Sniper Elite 2 is coming out for the PC, PS3 and 360. Or has come out, should I said. Also on the 4th, Mortal Kombat is coming out for the PlayStation Vita. And finally, Mud FIM Motocross World Championship is coming out on the PC, PS3 and Xbox 360.
Mud FM?
Also on the 4th.
Speaking of nothing to do with anything.
Yep.
You're fired. James's apprentice. Oh, no. Apprehension.
Apprehension.
Yeah, apprentice is going well. I like that bloke. I can't remember his name. He's got hair.
Alan Sugar?
No. He's got long brown hair. In the dorm with the meatballs, he was in the truck with the woman.
I don't watch.
Making.
The Apprentice.
And the guy who looks a bit like Borat is still in it. So, yeah, I'm happy. You're fired. James's apprentice apprehension.
We really need to stop with your random segments. So, on that note, we're going to just wrap things up now by looking at what's been going on in the reticule over the past few weeks. Nick has been looking at Silent Hunter Online, as well as The Journey Down. A nice preview for that game. It's a point-and-click game, so go check that out. Chris Evans has been looking at a year with The Witcher 2 and seeing how well it's aged. And finally, Kevin McLennan has been looking at... And finally, Kevin... I can't even say Kevin!
Finally, Kev's been checking out Tribes.
Ascend in his 5 week his fortnight words.
Kev's been playing a game once a fortnight. It's about Tribes.
Yes, best of free online gaming. Thank you, James, because my words seem to have left me. I've been Jordez.
Are we ending now?
Yes, we are.
Oh.
I've been Jordez, and with me has been Nick Nameless James.
Yep.
And this has been the Reticule Presents Installing to Disk. Any last words, James?
No, I haven't had time to prepare this one. Blue tack.
And I, as usual, will go with goodbye.